somewhere between 80% and 90%, somewhere between 80% and 90% of church members have absolutely no intention of inviting people to hear the church. They assume that their friends are not interested, but mostly it's fear. Mostly it's fear. It's a terrified rejection. I'm sure we can all relate to that. Because when it comes to evangelism, we're scared. We're not learning. Why? We were praying yesterday at the Emirates. Just encouraging one another to share the gospel. Called up from Jay Johnson. But even those who are asking, not respond asking yet, when we're talking about sharing our friends, it's not, and I never get any opportunities or it's hard work, or I don't know what to say. My friends aren't interested. And at that point, wouldn't it be really good if there was a passage in the Bible that just told us what we needed to know to be able to do that person? But shock horror, there is. There it is. Verses 2 to 6 in Colossians 4. And we have all time. It tells us exactly how to make the most of every opportunity. So if you're a Christian tonight and like 90% of us, you don't have to be married to join this group. You're a bit scared, you don't like doing this, or you don't want to say, or you're fearful. Listen to what Paul has to say to this week's goal. And what's Paul's secret? Two just simple, really simple things. What does Paul say? He says to do two things. Number one, pray for open doors. Number two, season your conversation. I think more than that. I think harder than that. Number one, pray for open doors. Number two, season your conversation. So first of all, pray for open doors. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. For writing to these first century Christians in Colossians, devote yourself to prayer, be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door of our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am chained. So he's got this great apostle, he's in prison, locked up, and what he's doing is in prison, locked up, praying for more opportunities to tell people about Jesus. You would think by the time he gets to prison that he wouldn't have to bother anymore, but he's done his bit. He's faithful to the Christ of God in him, but no, in prison, he's saying, please pray for more opportunities to speak about Jesus. And I know you may feel a little bit as if maybe at work, you're chained to your desk, or you're chained to the kitchen sink, or whatever it is you're chained to. But if the Apostle Paul expected God to grant him opportunities when he was literally chained to someone, then surely God can answer our prayer. Now, whatever circumstance, whatever situation you think our chained to this, if Paul can pray for opportunities, surely we can. So he really believed that even in a happy, impossible situation, God would give him opportunity to open the doors to talk about Jesus. But notice that there's nothing mechanical or formulaic about all kind of praying for open doors. Paul did not pray. Turn up to church once a week, pray for opportunities, and then that's what we do. We'll guarantee 10 conversations next week. What he says is, devote yourself to prayer. Persevere in prayer. This is not a formula that we crack a handle and it happens. This is an attitude that all of our lives we are thinking and pray for opportunity for all this community. So persevere. And as we do that, we are watchful and thankful. That means there's no use praying for opportunities if we then don't look for opportunities when they come along. And then also take them in the tunnel. I don't know about you, but I often, I'm close regularly in the week, I might have great opportunities, and I notice afterwards something happens that I just say, if you want to say, come up with whatever you're doing, that's not really a good opportunity to say something there. But it's not just praying, we're watchful, we're looking for opportunities, and we're making sure we're really grateful, we're thankful for it. You see that dynamic? Because, of course, the more we notice, the more grateful we are, the more likely to pray in the first place. So it actually is an unconditional circle, it's quite uplifting. I'm sure you've all heard the joke about the rabbi, I'm sure you've heard the joke about the rabbi. He used to pray at the synagogue every week, oh Lord, please may I win the lottery. You heard that? Every week you get more and more insistent, praying, Lord, please may I win the lottery. And saying here yesterday, because we're co-hosting a natural evangelism course. And if you remember, course, we were praying for three people, weren't we? Praying for three people, not just the young ones and the girls, but three people that we hope have opportunities to witness. Well, I hope that's not now the event's over. I hope that's the top, but we've still got three people on our list that we're praying for regularly. Let's keep doing that. Because the next thing that is exactly what the open door is that Paul wants us to pray for. He said, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And that's the content. He's not just praying for opportunities for anything. He's praying specifically for an opportunity to proclaim the mystery of Christ. Now, we've seen already in Colossians that word mystery doesn't mean quite what we mean when we use the word mystery. He's not talking about something strange that can't be understood. Now, a mystery is something that was hidden, but now it's been revealed. It's a little bit like those magic eye pictures that we know a lot about. Any of you know those magic eye pictures? I think my eye is not really weird, but no, I can't see it. But apparently, you stare all these sort of lines, and suddenly something comes out. But the point is that you can't see anything at first, but once you've seen it, you can't not see it. It's just obvious. And Paul is saying that the Old Testament one, particularly God's love for the Gentiles, God's overwhelming love for those not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, that was hidden in the Old Testament, not in the sense that it wasn't there, but in the sense that the Jews couldn't see it. But now in Jesus, what was hidden is now made, it's a mystery, but it's now being made known. And now you can see it, it's obvious. So that I'm in the New Testament, but now even with the Gospel, you look back at the Old Testament, you can see it there too. That's the mystery that we need to proclaim. And it's this mysterious message that led to Paul's imprisonment first. It doesn't matter, it's not just a mystery, something made known. But notice Paul is saying that's why I'm in prison, because of this message. So, where I think we don't need to be unnecessarily fearful, fear is what puts us off, fear of rejection. On the other hand, we have to accept that there is a level of rejection. Paul was in prison because of the gospel. However well we tell people about Jesus' love, there still will be opposition to what we should expect. Paul comes up in verse 21 and 22 of chapter 1. He says, once you were alienated from God, this is in summary of the gospel message, once you were alienated from God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. That's the content of the message that we're going to share. It's one of the message, but I'm sure you can see why some people, everybody, why some people would find it unpopular. Why? Because it includes two things that I'm deciding not very hard to accept. Firstly, it says that people are naturally evil, that they don't naturally accept God. And we don't like to hear that, do we? Let's be honest, most people, I find when I talk to people in Harrow, most people assume the thought position is that we're naturally good. I'm a good person. Most people say, I was with the other day and saying, you said, why should God let you into heaven? Because I'm basically good, was the reply. Most people think that here, any talk of being evil sounds ridiculous, isn't it, respectable to our own people. I voted in Tory at the last election. We don't get it. So that is offensive to some people, but of course it won't be popular at all. And it gets worse because then Paul also says that's the problem. And the antidote to something that's not really popular at all, what is it? Because it involves human sacrifice. Jesus can be sacrificed. And a lot of people today would say that's not fair. But Paul is particularly, and actually, that happened earlier. But the only thing worse today is if we said it was a beautiful kid that had to be sacrificed. But it's not very powerful. So you should be surprised that some people have not find this message. But I'm putting that out not to increase your fear, the opposite. I'm putting it out because that too brings us back to prayer. Paul is saying the content of our message also, not just the circumstances, but the content of our message should bring us back to prayer. This is not a message that everyone will naturally accept. You can't sit down and say, hell away, you're a miserable sinner, and you can sacrifice what Jesus thinks is needed. And they'll go, oh, yeah, that's right, can I finish it, please? Let's move on. That's not going to happen that quickly, that naturally. But all the more reason to pray. All the more reason to stop thinking that it's down to us, and how clever we are, and how wonderful the words and our stuff and our techniques. And all the more reason to pray that God's Holy Spirit will change people's minds. Number one, pray over the doors. But number two, season your conversation. Verse four, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. How do we season our conversation? According to verses 4 and 5, we do it with clarity and wisdom. According to verse 6, we do it with grace and salt. The clarity and wisdom, grace, and salt. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly. So again, our job is not to be incredibly clever or eloquent, but simply to be clear. We thank God that there are evangelists who want to change us, who are really gifted in explaining the gospel. Or people like John Lennon, who is one of our German ministers, who engages with the new atheists and looks at archaeology and all those evidence. We need clever people who can do those kind of things, of course. We don't have to be like them. All this, just be clear. I know that again, I suppose it's because we don't want to appear stupid or crass. But when people ask me complicated answers, sometimes I say that I know that's appropriate. But occasionally I'm sort of touching it because I don't want to just tell them the right answer. Because again, I'm offering it, I'm afraid of what their response might be. The fourth is, be clear. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly. But with wisdom as well, be wise in the way you answer your counterparts, making a most of every opportunity. And the expression, make the most of every opportunity, literally in verse 5, buy up the economy. There's an urgency here. If I really believe that the eternal destiny of my friends and neighbors and family is at stake, then I'll buy out the time. I'll make the most of every opportunity with an urgency to offer them clearly, but also with urgency to. But wisdom also means knowing how to read the situation as well. Again, being motivated to do it sensibly and wisely, not going to try and put people up, not ashamed of the gospel. But I'm going to do it wisely, I'm going to do it in a way that I'm necessarily good people. Which is why verse 6, I season my conversation with grace and salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Wonderful picture, isn't it? Wonderful picture of our confession. Full of grace, seasoned with salt. And notice the relative amounts there. It's full of grace. Literally, Paul says, the message of you in grace. In other words, it's not like you're writing, a castle or you're reading down the recipe list and you're not going to have a cook to pull it. It's not like that at all. Paul is saying, if it is a meal, it's all grace. All grace. Everything is in grace. Not the case of forgetting the grace. The whole message, our entire conversation, is in grace. The catalogue of our everyday speech is full of grace. But it's also seasoned with salt. Now, seasoned. It's not full of salt, it's not all over it. It's seasoned with salt. So our conversation must be bland. Full of grace, so it's attractive, it's winsome, but it's seasoned with salt. And of course, it's preservative, but it also has flavor. And so our conversation should stand out as different. It's a preservative, it stands out as different. But it also adds flavor, and our conversation is to be seasoned with salt. No salt is tasteless. Covered in salt, no one can taste the grace. Sadly, as many people said, the two most common reasons why people are not a Christian today are number one, they've never met another Christian, and number two, they have met another Christian. Never met a Christian, no salt to whet their appetite. They have met a Christian, too much salt, not enough grace. Well, it's pretty positive there. If you were there a few weeks ago, you would have one day of administration with the Power Hendricks, the Edge today. And this is another one coming in. He's not alive anymore. He used to be a professor at Paris Theological Seminary. He was once speaking about telling people about Jesus in West Texas. And after he finished, a tall Texan man came up and said that he'd got it all wrong. And Hendricks is one of the sort of crazy man who said, you know, you put me straight forward as I got wrong. The next said, in your sermon, you said something stupid. You said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And that ain't true. Because you can make it drink when you feed it still. And you know that sometimes what I do, all drunk, so it's all lift forward to the full block, they immediately drink water. You can't make something drink for the people who use it. But if you give them salt, it encourages them to do it. So in our daily conversations, we can lead forces towards living water. And then we can encourage them to make a drink. Every one speech is seasoned with salt. That's what we do. How do we make the most of every opportunity? Those of them in prayer, broken doors, and cease our conversation with clarity and wisdom, with grace and sort. And notice that indeed, I think when it comes to evangelism, we get very scared that we're not doing enough because we feel it all down to us. We feel terribly guilty. But that's all that Paul says. He doesn't talk about great programs, he doesn't talk about a quota of the number of people who speak to every day. He simply says, pray for opportunities, seize your conversation with yourself. And that's it. So although I'm challenged by this passage, it also might encourage me because there's a challenge there, but it's also a sense of taking away unnecessary burden. I'm not simply responsible for the salvation of everyone. I'm not responsible for telling everyone in a 20-minute gospel presentation. I'm responsible for praying for opportunities, and then season one conversation with salt, with growth, full of coffee growth and growth, season the salt, and season the salt. That's the portion for them. Let's pray now, and then the rest will be a chance to do the vision of the universe. Just come to me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul's words. Just a few little words, and yet there's so much there in them. Packed full of encouragement, but also challenge. So I pray that you help us to process it and to encourage one another in the world. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And before we go to the time to share what we want to pray for, and any questions, if we've got any questions. I want to get into the groups. I want to be more time to share. Any questions? What do you all come back from the George? Being watching, what we talked about, the really fabulous thing is especially quite secure and certain. That's what we're talking about. And the other question? Don't know. Quite likely. Elsewhere, he talked a lot about being watched in that way, but he wrote in that way. But yeah, my point about being watched is that you're looking at opportunities.